Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. Got Sarah Dupree and I here on the call. Natasha is not going to be able to join us. Her son is sick today.
I'm here too.
And Randy. Randy's on the line. Randy, do you want to come by and sit in here with us?
I can't. I have to watch phones for the face down the hall because their assistant's out. So I have to sit here. And if I have to throw you guys on hold, I apologize in advance.
Yeah, don't hold up. Don't put us on hold. Just hang up. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because if you put us on hold, we get music. Sorry. Thanks.
Or you can just mute us.
All right. Well, good. All right. So, I know there's been some changes. We spent about, you know, all the time that was necessary on that the last time. What else is on your mind?
We recently went through the approval process to get our team name changed. So we are going to be announcing that to our clients and rebranding on our website and our marketing materials. So that's in process now, and sort of being able to tell a story as to the new brand and the direction that we're going.
So what's the new name?
The Banyan Group, like a banyan tree.
Yeah, nice. Is there any other banyan groups?
No. Not in
the Okay, good. You've looked on the website and everything?
Yes.
We've already got it approved, actually.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Great. All right. I will make
sure. There wasn't another banyan group.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting names that people have picked, but not that one.
Right.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
But everybody seems to be excited about it, and we just want to be able to let our clients know that it's coming and, you know, why we're changing it so they're not surprised by it. So we're working on a letter to be able to send out to them, and we're going to take new updated pictures of our team next week.
Really smart. Way to go. I think that's great. What else?
Got a whiteboard for the game board. We have not begun using it yet, but we plan to.
Great. Okay. What else?
We've had some client transitions recently. I think Dimitri touched on it on our last call, but we have had a sizable relationship of ours swing to another advisor in our firm in a different state. In addition to that, there's been a few other individuals that really weren't a good fit for the practice but still impact the revenue. So I think between that and the transition with John, some of that, the revenue figures are filtering themselves out. So we're beginning to do planning for next year. How early do you recommend that we sort of start projecting the marketing and business expense planning for the following calendar years?
I'd say start it right now. That's what I was going to talk about today.
Okay.
That's great timing. I'm glad I asked, and I'm glad you right in that spot. So, look, you can build your business plan anyway, maybe the way you've always built it, but one of the things that I recommend is to make it simple is using the 5-star model, and then it's easy to report in on that based on the 5-star model. So let's just put them down now. Planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. My suggestion is simple as this. You define what each role and responsibility is, who has it, and then do the gap analysis, two parts of the gap analysis. One is our ability, and the other is our execution. And that's just a starting point. Okay? It's a bit of a report card on how you feel you are. So you can do it together, you can do it separately, and then put it together for more candid conversation. It's up to you guys. I like to do it separately and then put it together and see what the discussion, how it comes out. Because the worst thing in the world for a team is to be delusional. Meaning they think they're better than they are. It doesn't mean, and you shouldn't think you're worse than you are. You should try and be as accurate as possible. And if you've made big progress in an area, then that's the time for congratulations. Okay? But an accurate analysis of where you are, both in your ability, see, part of it is we don't give any energy or time or money to the development of our skills, except where there's a title involved. But your skills in marketing are just as important to develop as your skills in portfolio analysis. But we don't have a designation for marketing. We have a schema for portfolio analysis. Your skills in marketing are more important in most cases than your skills in any other area, simply because if you can't tell your story, it's never going to get out of there. Okay, and how about leadership skills, for example? I mean, we don't have a designation for that, and yet that's as difficult as any other skill to learn and to master. To be a good leader takes years and years of work. And we don't train you to be leaders. We train you to be financial advisors. And yet you drop onto a team, any team, and you've got to know leadership skills. Now there's more than 1,000 books written on leadership. So there's plenty to read. The question is, how do you, what are the fundamentals of good leadership? Well, anyway, we can talk about that. So that's to me what you should be doing. Now, part of the leader's role and responsibility is to set the goals in terms of production, revenues, and assets, but that should be a team. I mean, every one of these should be written out and done by the designated person and then presented to the team and then accepted by the team. Okay? And that's not a dictatorial acceptance. I'm talking about challenge the person who's making the presentation. Always congratulate them on their efforts, but if you see something that doesn't fit with what your interpretation of that particular part of the team, then you should challenge it. Okay? Particularly the leader should challenge it.
Rob, to be clear, the five star model is each of these designations would only apply for now to Dimitri and I as the advisors, or do we include Sarah and Randy in some of these?
Yeah, I would include Sarah and Randy in particularly in the area of brand management. In fact, I'd have them own it. That's service and operations, and we put brand management as a title because, you know, if we screw up service, if we screw up operations, in problem solving, we really ruin our brand. But you could also put compliance in there. And there's nothing wrong with the leader deciding that that person is going to be their ops manager or their person in charge of compliance overall in terms of adhering to the firm's rules and regulations. I think it's a healthy thing to take it out of the hands of the leader and get all candor going in terms of compliance. I mean, I think it's an interesting and exciting and challenging thing to do. But, you know, the greatest thing in the world is to have a teammate save you or your partners, anybody, from doing something that they shouldn't be doing because they have a blind spot. Okay? So, that's a little longer answer, but that's basically it. So questions on how you'd write up a business plan for each of the 5 stars.
For implementation and marketing, are you setting goals for the year? Like, what metrics are you considering in those 2 categories?
Well, for now, let's just concentrate on the year, okay? If you guys become really adept at this and you like it, then you can set up 3-year goals, okay? Or if you decide you want to set up 3-year goals and then work it backwards, that's fine. I think it's great. It's better. But, you know, if you're used to 1-year goals, let's do 1 year and then we'll go to 3 and work backwards again. See how we do. So let's get one year done. I don't think I've interviewed a team so far that is really adept at building their business plan. Okay? I have in the past. I know teams that are. But based on the groups, you know, maybe I'm coaching 12 or 15 teams now. You know, some of them monthly, you know, because I've graduated. I introduced team planning at this time of year, and they, you know, they haven't done it. And so it's like, okay, let's get going. I'm not sure they would. So, look, here's the game, right? Our game is to do all the things that other people aren't willing to do. But that doesn't mean, and these aren't things that are a waste of time. These are things that differentiate you in the marketplace and make you better. They're the small things that add up to making you better than the rest. Okay? The game board will make you 1 in 1,000. Maybe 1 in 10,000. By just doing it. And you can see why other people won't want to do it. They don't want to be held accountable for their activity. It's like the players on a team holding themselves accountable to practice without a coach. Right? I mean, if players didn't have a coach and they didn't have anybody supervising them, would they practice at all? Would they practice hard? Not as hard, right? They're getting paid. Now think about it. They're getting paid. Would they practice? And how hard would they practice without a coach or an accountability person? So why do you think you guys are any different? So you've got to set up that mutual, it's like when I train for a marathon, I get a running partner because I know that I'm not going to train as hard by myself. In fact, I don't think I can do it. Either I hire a coach to run with me
or I hire a, or I basically convince a friend to run in the race with me. And we show up every morning and we run. Okay? Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Okay? I'll get to the, you know, I'll cancel. You know, 2 weeks before the race, I'll cancel out because I haven't trained. So we're all humans. And the question is, you know, I'm just preparing a PowerPoint. Differentiating yourself in the market. Well, everybody says the market's very crowded now and the pressure on fees and all this stuff. Well, yes and no. There's pressure for those that are average, yes. But for those that are exceptional, there's no pressure. There never will be. Because they're doing all the little things right. And they're holding themselves accountable. Okay, so let's go back to the five-star model and questions on each role. So do you know the roles? Do you know what's included in each role? You want me to go over any of them?
Yeah, it would be helpful to go over some of them, I think.
Yeah, I think the quick refresh in the...
Okay, it's really quick, right? Planning is a process, not an end. But we do manage it through the number of financial plans we do each year, and that our goal is to have every client have a financial plan. And then the question is, how often should a plan be updated? Or, better yet, making sure that planning and implementation and updating is a part of every call. Okay? So planning should be a part of every call, especially the quarterly and the semi-annual. So we used to say, you know, 12 contacts, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person. It really should be 12 contacts, 4 reviews of the financial plan, 2 of them in person. So that's a big job, the planning job, because it incorporates all the parts of the client, and getting every client to do it and holding yourself accountable. So that one's pretty simple and straightforward. Director of implementation, on the other hand, is kind of a vague thing, but it's really not. You're in charge of asset and liability management. Okay, so that means you're in charge of the investment matrix. Who comes in and out of the matrix? And that the matrix is still current and efficient and effective as the world changes, right? So, you know, you just know how's the world changed? Well, you know it has. So make sure your matrix is still current with today's world as it's changing.
What do you mean?
Then there is the investment matrix is, I'm a 72-year-old, male with a spouse and grandchildren and all that. I've got X millions of dollars. I've got a combination of income and growth as goals. I'm reasonably aggressive. What's my investment matrix look like? What's my asset allocation model? What do I have? You know, do I have growth? Do I have value? Do I have a combination of growth and value, GARP? Do I have international? Do I have some other private equity deals, alternative investments? So you should have a matrix that's standard for me. And you shouldn't have a bunch of different, you know, investments. It should be pretty much the same. And if you're going to change one, you got to have a good rationale for why one comes out and another one gets plugged in. So just like a telephone operator pulling the plugs out in the old days and plugging in a new telephone call, right? Pull one out, put another one in. So they also are, did you get that? I mean, you guys know that. We don't spend much time.
You treat them as a CIO. Would you consider them to be the CIO?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And they're in charge of the 24-month calendar because they're in charge of implementing the financial plan. They know best, or they should know best, when we should be introducing different products and services. And so when, if they're in charge of the asset and liability management, when should we introduce liability management? Should we be talking about that all year? Should we talk about it a couple of months? How long should that be? We're going to introduce mortgages, and securitized loans and all the rest of it. Is that a 3-month thing or is it a 2-month thing? And then when do we require minimum distributions? When do we start introducing that? So we should have a dynamic 24-month calendar, and that person's in charge of it. They're also in charge of the training. That doesn't mean they have to do the training, but they have to get people in to do the training for your team, and then they've got to notify the appropriate people, the mortgage company, whatever. And we're going to be probably doing 10 mortgages over the next 2 months. We'd like you to be ready. We need some training. Bring somebody in, or let's do it on a conference call. So that's the person. That would be in the Navy. That'd be the training officer. Those are the two big jobs of the director of implementation. When you think of it, okay, the planning director gets the plan done, hands it to the implementation director. He sets up the 24-month calendar. The FAs then implement the low-hanging fruit, the easy things, and then over the next 24 months get the other stuff done. If long-term care is part of it, then we wait till this month to implement and talk about long-term care. Some of it, the urgent stuff, of course, we do immediately. And if a client needs it immediately, obviously you do it. But if they don't and it doesn't come up as a need, but we should discuss it, then that's when we do it. Director of Brand Management, we know that, right? We know the Director of Brand Management. We know who it is in terms of that they're in charge of Supernova and they're in charge of operations and 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. And they're held accountable to the model and that every client gets called appropriate. Marketing is the 7 strategies that we've introduced, the game board, and making sure that the activity results in the goals that the leader sets. So the leader determines what are our goals in terms of assets, liabilities that we're going to bring in this year. Are we annuitizing them? What percentage should it be, et cetera? We're going to do alternative investments. Actually, the director of implementation determines whether we're doing alternative investments or not. And so forth. So the marketing, the director of marketing is the person that really puts together all the strategies for bringing in money. You would say he'd be the director of growth. So if a firm is going to grow, that's the key person. It's like in a university, the director of development. You get a bad director of development, nothing happens. The university dies. The leader's job is to make two jobs. Make sure everybody else sets the goals, the vision, where we're going, why we're going there, mission statement, purpose, and vision, where we're going, how we're going to get there. Goals for each of the assets, liabilities in order to reach our goals. Then that person's in charge of making sure that everybody does their job, that we're having the meetings. Now, they don't set the meetings. I mean, they set when they're going to be, but the brand managers are the ones in charge of operations and systems and process. So they're in charge of making sure that the Monday meeting happens, the Thursday afternoon meeting, or Friday morning meeting happens. Remember, The marketing meeting is, you can change these, but typically the marketing meeting is Monday, and because we want to check how did we do last week, what do we need to adjust to do better this week. And remember, marketing is about giving, right? Remember, the more we give, the more we get. So if we're not getting enough, it's because we're not giving enough. We're not focused on enough introduction. And we have to build our systems with giving people. So we have to have people like us that are trusting and want to help. And that, so that's the key. Building the systems with the right centers of influence that like you and trust you and want to help you. You have those people. You just need more of them. And then the Friday meeting is everybody reports in on how they did as part of their week regarding the five-star model. So at that time, the director of marketing would report in on the results of the marketing. All the Monday meeting is about activity. Did we get the activity right? Friday is results. What kind of results are we getting? Are we getting the assets? Are we getting the new accounts? Are we getting et cetera? Are we sticking to our schedule according to the brand manager? Are we doing the planning according to the director of planning? So that's our weekly accountability meeting as part of our year-long goal. So it's pretty tight in terms of, you know, I think we thought of everything that you need, but you need to put it together. And you should have an Excel spreadsheet for the Friday meeting. The game board's perfect for the Monday meeting, but the Excel spreadsheet should be for the Friday meeting. And the marketing director should be in charge of tracking, having some system to track all the prospects. That's not part of the Monday meeting. Monday's just about activity. But the Friday meeting is, okay, I'm tracking all our prospects, this is what our pipeline looks like, etc. Now think about it. Each job is big, right? I mean, each job is kind of like a big job. And 90% of the people don't do any of this. So do it, and you'll be extraordinary. All right? Develop the skills, you'll even be more extraordinary. Just going through the motions of it will make you extraordinary. Questions? You guys are really conscientious, and you're really good students. You can do this just as I've described. And you know what? I'd love some feedback where you said, you know what? We're not doing it quite this way. This is the way we're doing it because we think it's going to work better. And I'd say, God bless you. Try it and tell me which works better. You think your system works better, use it. But you got to have a good reason for doing it, not because it's, you know, whatever. It's got to be better.
How long do you typically have those meetings be?
As short as you can make them. I think you could do both meetings as stand-up meetings.
And what time of day do you usually do them?
Whenever it works for you guys. I think you should have like an 11 o'clock daily meeting where you just get together for 5 or 10 minutes and talk about, you know, anything that's going on today or tomorrow. And then on the Monday meeting, I think it should be, it could be after the close, it could be before the open, it could be whenever you guys think it works. But they don't have to, long is bad. Short is good. Standing up, you know, keeps it short. You know, when you have a sit down meeting, everybody has to get a cup of coffee or something. They come along, you sit down, they chat a little bit, blah, blah, blah. You just extend a meeting by 20 minutes just by not having everybody there on time. And I mean, it's going to be, what, 3 or 4 of you max?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just do a stand-up meeting around a round table and, you know, go for it. A stand-up meeting also invites participation. Versus just one person speaking. And remember, with a game board, you're filling in your own activity. The only thing on the game board is what you put on there. And it's not you as the leader. You're only putting your portion up as the leader of that. Everybody else puts their numbers up. How did they do versus what they said they were going to do? So if you're going to give 5 introductions that week, you put a goal of 5. You then put 5, you did 5. I gave 5 introductions last week. I didn't give 5 names. I gave 5 actual introductions. Awesome. Friday we'll talk about what I got in return.
We are going to be in process of completing the DISC profile assessments with the motivators and drivers. Is that something that you typically would review with team calls? Is that helpful at all?
Yeah, that'd be great. Anything you want to put in to supplement this is terrific. You know, if you're taking a FEMA class or you're taking a local class or the manager's having you do a business plan, great. Let's just add it right in. No business plan I've ever seen is more comprehensive than this. If you can create one, let me know.
What do you think is a realistic, like out of the teams you've worked with and the success and failures you've seen, what do you think is a realistic growth percentage for us to shoot for next year?
It depends on your skills. That's where you get into skill development. If you're highly skilled, it's just like, you know, what do you think our chances are of winning the World Series? Well, tell me how many great hitters you have. How's your pitching staff? So, you know, how do you match up against others in your industry, you know? You don't, the problem is you don't get to see them or hear them. You know, they don't publish their closure rates. You know, we get everything on baseball players, so we know exactly their skill level. So all you have is you determining how good you are. But my guess is if you get in front of a client, your closure rate is going to be a highly qualified client. It's going to be close to 100%. So that means every time you get up a bat, you hit. You get a hit. So the question is, are you getting in front of the right people, and are you getting in front of enough people? So what we want is, the probabilities are that you need skill training in terms of getting up to bat. Getting the right people in front of you, and you probably get those, but, you know, the question is, and that's what you need to do, is to say, okay, my closure rate is 100%, okay? But what's my closure rate from the time I identify a prospect till my closure rate? Well, that would depend on how you got the prospect, right? Whether or not it was a good prospect, whether or not the person that referred you has credibility with the prospect. If you get a person that meets your minimum, you got a center of influence that knows what you want and refers you in the proper way, every time he sends you an introduction, you're going to close him. So now the question is, how do we get him to send you more? And that's where we spend more time with them, and we send them more referrals. If we send them more qualified referrals, we're going to move our way up from being third or fourth on their list to number one on their list. When we're number one on our list, we're going to get one a month. If you get one a month and you have 100% closure rate, you're going to grow very fast.
Do we add in any of the growth we do internally to the book? Like, I think the majority of the assets we've raised this year, which have been pretty significant, have been by gathering more assets of our existing clients that we hadn't previously gained.
Yes, of course. Anything that grows the assets. But what we usually typically find, though, is in the first year of Supernova, we can gain anywhere from a 10% to a 30% increase in our business just from our existing clients. And the reason is we're calling them. And they're seeing our relationship deepens and they send us more money. It's fabulous. But that's just the organization piece working for you. Okay? That's you and your skills, your ability to talk to people and give and develop credibility with them. That's a skill set. That's great. Some people don't get it. Some people, the more they talk to the client, they don't get any more. But they get most, I'd say anywhere from 10 to 30%. More assets, more business. But the problem is next year you won't get that again. Okay, because you're going to have most of their assets. So you get some more. It isn't something that you're going to just bank on. Now, if they send you introductions, way good, okay? Because one of the tools is our own clients sending us business, right? We don't leverage that enough. You don't have to go anywhere if done right at your own clients. If you get your clients, your top 20% of your clients to duplicate themselves every year, you're done. In 3 years, you double your business. Okay, so each tool that I've given you can work very nicely to increase your business, but there's no tool better than your own client. I got all my recruiting as a manager and a district director was through referrals from our existing FAs. Maybe once in a while I got one, but I headhunters, no. Nothing like that. It was all from existing FAs. Because I built a great office and was a manager that they liked and respected. And therefore they were willing and able, enthusiastic about sending their friends. So that's what you do. You build a great store. You build a great home so that your clients are excited to send you people. Nobody can compete with that. Stephanie, this isn't anything you didn't know, right?
No. I think we can always
do better. Well, Plato said learning is remembering. Learning is remembering what we already know in some cases and remembering what we learned in the past and implementing it and using it. Learning is remembering and using it. As I've taught you all this, but we need to, space repetition is critical in learning. So that's why I use what I call the five-time rule. So when you're asking for introductions or getting your clients to understand where they fit in this process, don't give up after the first time. It takes 4 or 5 times for me to get something through to you guys. It takes 4 or 5 times to get what you need through to your client. So you just have to be pleasantly persistent. Which I try and be. This is the half of Supernova that people have the most trouble with. Because it isn't, how do we phrase it? It's critical to their existence and growth, but not to their day-to-day survival.
Well, you're asking this, I'm sure a lot of people to do these activities, which is a little outside of their comfort zone. So if they've gotten to a certain place and they're comfortable, you know, with how they got there and, you know, they're, you know, generating revenue and they're already successful and, you know, inside the branch by their own estimations, by the estimates that, you know, they're looking
right
at, like, why would you change? Or it's kind of
right
simple to start adopting new things with the hope that it could potentially drive new activity and drive new results. But, and it's very structured. I mean, you have to be very disciplined in how you adopt it.
All right, so here's the key. Here's the key. So you used a term called discipline, right?
Yeah.
Now, it didn't require any discipline for you to get to work today.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No,
but if you were... it didn't. It's all ritualized. You know exactly... It's a ritual, see? But if you told a 13-year-old to get up and get to work, assuming they could drive, they would have a terrible time with it because they have no rituals. So just think of yourself as a 13-year-old that needs to learn to become an adult in terms of our business. So you've got a lot of new rituals to get in place. Once you get those in place, it'll be no more trouble than it was for you to get to work. It will require no ritual.
Yeah. It requires discipline to develop the ritual so it becomes a habit.
That's right. So your discipline, you use enough discipline to create a habit which becomes a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And a ritual is something that you feel really bad when you don't do it. Okay, so if you skip brushing your teeth this morning, you won't feel good until you get around to brushing your teeth. Even though you know your mouth could survive the day, it just can't survive the year without doing it, right?
Yeah.
All right, so now, how do we help each other in terms of rituals? And in terms of creating business, we create bilateral contracts with other people, and then we use others to keep ourselves on track. So the brand management team is really the key to both maintaining the rituals of your team, operations, and service, but they're also the key to your acquisition strategy. Why do I say that? So they're the ones that set up your appointments for your existing clients and solve the problems for existing clients. But they're critical in the acquisition phase also, because they're also part and parcel to setting up folders and appointments with your centers of influence. So don't keep them out of the acquisition piece. Make them part and parcel to it, because once you set up the monthly appointments with your centers of influence, you've got 6 marketing activities that you know you're going to do that month. And they call up and reconfirm the appointment just like they would call up and reconfirm any other appointment. If they're not part of this, you're eliminating a tool that will keep you on track. So you want to use folders, and you want to use the set appointments and agendas just like you would with clients. So you take each part of the marketing and you break it down to where the director of brand management is going to get involved. And they really get involved in almost every activity of the 7 strategies for acquisition. Think of it. Board meetings, LinkedIn, niche marketing, centers of influence, 90-day free look. VIPSA is really the only one where you're asking your existing clients for an introduction. It is the one that you use. Mastermind group. They're all incorporating your team. Okay? So when you do that, then you don't have to worry as much. You know you're going to have a schedule of appointments all set up. All you do is get the people involved initially, and then the machine runs itself. So the acquisition machine should be running by itself, just like the dentist office for clients. It just happens to be the acquisition machine it's the acquisition machine for growing your business, not for servicing. So they report in on whether or not everybody is keeping up their phone calls in that Friday meeting. Director of Brand Manager, are we doing our phone calls to our existing clients? So is the machine running for our existing clients, and is it running for our growth model? So it's another way of building. See how well the team works then? Teams are great because they can hold themselves accountable. The teams can be a great place to hide, too, if you don't want to do anything. Unless there's accountability. Then it's a terrible place to hide. You can't. But look, the reality is we're all fallible human beings. We're all going to fall off the path. The question is, if you get back on the path after a week, you're so much better off. Other people won't get back on the path for 6 months or a year or maybe never. If everybody weighed themselves every day, they wouldn't have the amount of obesity in the country. I'm convinced of it. Well, maybe they were, but I don't think so. I think if you watch your weight and measure it every day, you're going to have that feedback that says, whoops, I've got to pay attention here. I've got to stop doing that. So without the weekly meetings, you're just not going to get the kind of feedback loop to keep yourself on track. And it does get easier. Okay, I've got to jump off and so do you. What were the big takeaways from today's call?
Business planning.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a lot more clarity on the 5 stars and what the Monday and Friday meetings are going to look like. So, very productive call.
Great. Anything else?
Nope.
No. We got our work cut out
for
it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard trick. But you're good. You're organized. You're smart. You like this. You'll do great. Okay? And if you know, let's make some progress on this. Have it done. Okay? When we talk next month, that's your goal. I want it mailed to me, and I want to have time to review it. So a week before we meet, send it to me. I'll review it, and we'll talk about it next month.
You want to email it to you?
Yeah, email it to you.
Okay.
And we'll have a chance to, make adjustments, and then you'll be the stars of your office planning pool. Who's the best plan?
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you next month.
Bye.